Now tonight we said we would ask you to turn with us to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Is that correct?
Amen.
We want to look in verse number 11. I'm going to ask you tonight if you would stand with us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We are looking again tonight on what it is that Baptists believe. The Bible says, O ye Corinthians, verse 11, our mouth is open unto you. What does that mean? He means that he's going to preach to them. He's concerned for their well-being. He says to them, our heart is enlarged. What does that mean? I believe that means he's got a burden for the people. Amen. I praise God for people that has a heart that's enlarged, that is burdened for the people, that they might receive the word of God. He said, you are not straightening us, but you are straightening your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same. I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. What does that mean? He wants you to have a burden as well for the church that you're in, for the things of God in the house of God. Not only should the man of God be burdened with a message, but the people of God must be burdened with the Lord, burdened with the well-being of the church.
Amen.
Say to you tonight, Bethel Baptist Church, is your heart enlarged for your church?
Amen.
Is there a burden for the people in the house of God? That each other would be prospering. That we'd be strengthened in the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
Tonight's thought is on separation. On separation. Preacher, what does that mean? Separation means to part, to forsake, to leave behind, to disconnect with the world.
Amen.
Right. That's what separation means to a Christian.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about whether you're separated or not from your spouse, or whether you ought to be or ought not to be. That's not what we're talking about. But we are saying that you're separated from the devil. You may say, I'm talking about my spouse, preacher. No, that's not what we're talking about. You're separated from the world and all its sinful practice.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say this. I do remember one time that somebody said the devil came to the church, and there's a man sitting on the second row, and the devil scared all the people that was in the church away, but the man on the second row, he sat down in front of him and directly turned around and tried to scare him, and he didn't move and didn't flinch. And he got on the pew with him and scooted towards him, and the man never moved. He sat down beside him and said, hey, don't you know who I am? I'm the devil. He said, I know full well who you are, devil. I've been married to your sister for 30 years. You don't scare me.
Amen.
That's not what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm talking about being separated from the world and all sinful practice. We ought to be that, amen. But what we ought to be and what we are might be two different things.
Amen.
Tonight we're going to look at that thought. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We ask you to forgive our sins. Bless us tonight as we preach the word of God. I pray, God, you'd touch us physically. Give us strength and stamina to preach the word of God. I pray you'd touch us spiritually, Father, tonight, that God, you'd have us to say just what you'd have us to say and nothing of our flesh. Nothing, Father, that would hinder or hurt, but God, that which would be exalting to the Savior and that which would edify your church. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight. Now, I want to say something about separation before we go any farther in these verses, and we're going to be turning to a lot of verses. Tonight, the Lord's laid this on my heart, and I really feel like somebody here is probably going to get mad at me.
Happy Lord. Blessing Lord. Happy Lord.
I know that my little boy likes to hear scary stories. You know the kind. We don't like to put a lot of fear in him, but he always likes to hear something scary. Scary to him is a bear or a wolf, something scary. He likes to hear stuff like that. My dad, he asked my dad to tell him scary stories. And a lot of times my dad will put him on his knee and he'll say, "Son, can you handle it?" "Oh yeah, Grandpa, Papa," he says, "I can handle it." And I've seen him just about leap out of Papa's arms or leap closer into his arms to hold on to him as he got scared. I want to say to you tonight, can you handle it? Because if you're a little worried about where I'm getting ready to go tonight, maybe it'd be better if we just said, "Praise God that you came tonight, and you're welcome to leave." Honest, I'll let you go home right now. If you're worried about me tracking you down, you don't have to worry about me tracking you down, but if you're worried about the Holy Ghost getting a hold of you about something, and you're not willing to listen tonight and understand what it is God's trying to say to us, you might as well go ahead and cut the tape off now, listen to something else. Go ahead, if you want, the doors is open, just go ahead.
Bless you.
You're looking at me awful funny, but you ain't leaving.
Break it.
All right. It's in the Word of God, amen. The Bible says in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Means that you ought to have not evil associations with the world. Don't mean you ought not to go visit them and mention to them about Christ and preach to them and pray for them. But it does mean that you probably ought not to be sitting at the bar with them.
Right. Amen.
Instead of you helping them, they'll be serving you.
Right.
Do you follow me?
Amen.
I believe it also means being not unequally yoked together in your marriage.
Right.
I believe a saved person ought to marry a saved person.
Amen.
Preacher, what about a white and a black? What about a white and an Asian? Hey, what about a believer and an unbeliever? What about a Baptist and a Seventh-day Adventist? That's unequally yoked together. I believe it also means this in your business, not only in your marriage and in your home, but in your business. You ought not to be unequally yoked together. Your business affairs.
Amen.
What'd you say, preacher? I mean, their money's just as green as anybody else's. I'm not saying that you can't do business with them. I'm just telling you, when you enter into business with somebody and they're an equal partner with you, you better make sure that you're both saved.
Amen.
It'll be trying times. Amen. Hey, when money gets into it, the whole picture changes.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, I'm getting in the pocketbook tonight. Amen. Yes, we are. Better be careful. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means in business. That means in your marriage. I don't believe a lost person ought to be a member of the church.
Amen.
Believe they ought to really be saved. Say, preacher, what do you mean? I believe before they come up for a candidate to be saved, they ought to be evidence they're saved.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if Joe just walked it, Joe whoever walked right in here off the street and I'd never met him and didn't know anything about him, never, and said, "I'm going to join the church," I'd probably say, "Well, we'll see in a couple weeks."
Right.
"I don't know anything about you. Ain't nobody going to recommend you to me. Then I'm sorry, we're going to have to see some fruit in your life." You don't just stroll in and join a church just out of nowhere. We want to see something from you before we're going to receive you in the fellowship. Because we could be voting in a member that's a lost queer that's come in to try to tear down the church. You know, nowadays it's awful easy to... Ain't no such thing as a saved queer, by the way, either.
Amen.
Yeah, that's food for thought, amen. But I want to say, you could have a whole bunch of them ride in a car and have about 50 and come in and join the church and say, "I want to join the church." You see, it's awful easy to join the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. You just come up and say, "I want to join. I've been, yes, I say I've been saved. yes, I say I've been baptized and I want to join a church. See, it don't always work that easy. Right. We want to see something from you. I appreciate those of you that as you join the church, you've been thoughtful and prayerful and taking your time to discern that you want to join the church or not.
Right.
By the same token, this pastor stands in the pulpit and he's watchful
right.
of who is and is not a good, fine, upstanding person that would be qualified for the church.
Amen. Amen.
You follow me?
Amen.
Let me say something to you tonight. When I came here and I preached and in your pulpit committee, some of you were on that. We sat down and you all interviewed me, so to speak. You know what I was doing while you was interviewing me? I was interviewing you.
Right.
Oh, you think, well, yeah, he really wants to be here. No, I want God's will to be done. And when you go on a job interview, you ought to be interviewing them too.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't want to come in here to a place, to an outfit that didn't have God on it. Amen.
Right.
Unless God told me it's what I had to do.
Right.
Do you follow me?
Amen.
I didn't want to come in here and pastor a church. It was a bunch of unbelievers. Amen. That everybody, that every deacon and everybody set up in some office was not saved. I wanted to see in their life demonstration. You can tell it in one service just about whether they're really right with God or not.
Amen.
We're going to go deeper, so you better get a clue. The Bible says in verse number 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." I tell you, that means you need to have a disconnect with the world. Number one tonight, saved people are a separated people. If you're established in a place of business, you're not serving the world. It's alcohols, doing its drugs, backbiting, tormenting, running down the man of God, trying to sow discord amongst the brethren about the church so you can gain an advantage out of it.
Amen.
God says you're to be a separated people, not to live a gossiping, malicious lifestyle.
Amen.
Amen.
"I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Told you last week about God's chastisement. He's a father in us. When we get in trouble and do these things, He's going to wear our backside, so to speak, out.
Amen.
Saved people are a separated people.
Amen.
Saved people will be faithful to the church in which they belong. You ain't going to be running in the world and all its allurements every Sunday. There should be a desire for the house of God and the Word of God. If it is not present, something is wrong, because God puts that desire inside a person. Well, preacher, I've been in a church that ain't excited about God, and they don't give me nothing, and I'm just starving to death for 15 years. Well, God bless you. Go where they're feeding somebody and quit starving to death.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Well, my grandpa's a charter member. And Granny, she dedicated the pew. And she prayed in that altar. Aunt Bessie, she played the piano. Well, good for them. But what's it done for you?
Amen.
You're withered on the vine. I'm not necessarily talking to maybe by somebody by way of tape. You get in a house of God, what a man of God selling the corn. You quit starving to death.
Amen.
If I went down to J&S cafeteria and they wasn't serving the food that I like to eat, I'd probably quit going to J&S and go to Burger King. And if I had a problem with Burger King, I might go down to McDonald's. But I'm going to find somewhere I can get some food.
Amen.
Right. Amen?
Amen.
Nowadays, too many times us preachers is up here trying to preach and figure out everybody else's life instead of just preaching the Word of God and letting it just shell out and go where it's supposed to go.
Amen.
We try to take an aim for a certain somebody and blow them out and fix their lives when our lives in a mess ourselves.
Amen.
We just preach what God told us to preach and quit worrying about what everybody else thinks about it. Boy, we'd be in a whole lot better shape in our churches.
Amen.
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 Ephesians, we're going to turn for a few scriptures here and you're going to see what I mean. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 11. Say, preacher, you feel like you got a little liberty tonight? My ears is pinned back. Ephesians 5:11. None of you has left and it didn't discourage me tonight. So I'm ready to preach. Ephesians 5:11. Quickly now. The Bible says, and have no fellowship. You ought to underline that word. No. That's important. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Who's them? Those that are doing these unfruitful works, living in darkness. It's a shame to even talk about what they're doing. But it seems like we can't but help want to worry about what they're doing and talk about what they're doing and worry about what it is they're going to do. God said, that's a shame to talk about what they've done and what they're going to do. Just pray for it. Quit worrying about it. God's still on the throne. 2 Thessalonians. Yeah, we got a bunch of verses. Chapter 3, verse 6. Oh, I better get on with it. I ain't never going to get done. I'm still on point one. 5 tonight. 5 points tonight. Verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Not a one of yous said amen when I read that verse. But I'm going to say amen. The Word of God says that we're to withdraw from every what? Read it again. Every brother that does what? Walks disorder. If my life is walking disorderly from the will of God, from the way of God, what should you do with me?
Pray.
That's a good thing to do. Pray for me.
Amen.
But what if I'm in a position as your pastor and I'm caught doing some ungodly things? Just praying for me ain't going to get the job done as far as the leader of this church is concerned.
Amen.
What are you going to do with me then when I'm arrested for God knows what? When I'm walking this off, what are you going to do? Deacons, where are you at? Put your hand up. Where are you at? What you going to do? You're going to withdraw from me. That's what the Word of God says. You better pray and then you better withdraw. What does that mean? Now, that don't mean that y'all are going to quit church. That means you better say, son, you're out. We're going to get somebody else that's in. We're praying for that you'll get back in. But for now, you're out. What if I don't like it?
Tough.
Say it again.
Tough.
Yeah, man. You see, hear me now. It's not about what I like and what I don't. It's am I walking right or am I walking wrong?
Right.
And if I, as a church member, or a pastor, or especially one in leadership, is walking disorderly, causing discord, where do we draw? Your mind's wandering. Don't go there. That's up to God.
Right. Amen.
But I see what it is we're supposed to. Preacher, I read the Bible my whole life. I ain't never seen that. That's news to me. Yeah. The Word of God says so.
Right.
Amen. You didn't leave. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 3. And from its sinful activity.
Right. Amen.
If you're walking disorderly from the Word of God, the church has right to withdraw from you.
Right.
In fact, praise God, in your bylaws at the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, it says so.
Right.
I'd show you.
Yeah.
It's in there. Preacher, you believe it. You can church people? Yes.
Amen.
According to the Word of God.
Amen.
There was times that Paul, he disciplined some situations. Did they like it? I never liked discipline growing up, but it helped me somewhere down the road.
Right.
And I tell you what, when you hear what I'm tell you, I wish I had him here tonight to testify. But when my dad got me, and he got me by the seat of the breeches, and he picked me up and loved me real good, my brother's in the next room thinking, oh, Lord, I ain't never going to do that. Because I'll get killed for it.
Yeah.
I hope he don't come get me next. Because he's going to get mad the first time. Tells me that if I get in sin and walk disorderly, and I'm disciplined by the church, it ought to make the brothers and sisters fear the Lord.
Amen.
Not to do those things.
Right.
Or to even be associated with those things.
Right.
You see somebody getting whooped real good, you're going to back away from them and say, I don't know nothing about it. Clear. Want to be away. When I was in school, be a ring of us, one of them say something I should have said, teacher heard it, grabbed him by the arm. Rest of us, what do? We go to? No! We run! Let him get it. Rest of us is not going to do what he did.
Right.
Amen.
And tells me sometimes, preacher, you want to discipline somebody? No. But it tells me when church discipline is necessary that it will teach others to fear God.
Right.
You see, now in America, there's so many crimes going on because nowadays you get slapped on the wrist for what you do wrong. Nobody fears the penalty.
Amen.
Right.
Nobody, I'm going to tell you, most people in church anymore say, oh, we fear God. When it comes to them, then it's a little different.
Right.
They think everybody else ought to fear God, and they ought to get to do what they ought to. Let me say, there's a real difference between the God you want and the God who is.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Bible says in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Means you better stay away from that one that's in sinful practice, evil activity, gossip about the church. When they start gossip, you better not be the ones listening.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You better be the one taking stance and Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because God called you to be separated from the world and sinful practice.
Amen.
I believe a lot of people nowadays lays in bed or gets up. That's what somehow
24 hours a day thinking about how they can derail the church. Let me think of a good rumor I might start. What caused the most trouble down there? And then call somebody and report it for truth. And then watch it spray through the church in life. Oh, God's going to get you. God's going to get you. He said, all liars, they've got no place in the God's head. No, sir. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Help me, Lord. Number two. Not only number one are saved people, a separated people, but number two, saved people are not a stumbling block.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Verse 12. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ.
Amen.
Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I let make my brother to offend.
Amen.
A stumbling block is that which causes someone to err or trip or stumble. Now you, because you're saved, you have liberty. Means that you can do everything that's legal or everything that's right for you to do. Give yourself a hand. You've got liberty to serve God ever how you ought to. Yet if you offend anyone by something that you do, even though it's legal and right for you to do it, it is a sin.
Right.
Amen.
In other words, even though I've got a right to do such and such, if it causes a brother or sister to stumble, I'm in sin to do that. Here they, some of them said, such and such meat's unclean. Paul said, I've got liberty to eat anything. What God hath called clean, let no man call unclean. But this brother's a little weak and don't understand the good word of God. And he says, I'm really struggling with that. I can't eat no pork. If I eat pork, it's just wrong. It's unclean for me to eat it. And really, Paul, when we go out, I'd rather you not partake of that. Paul said, bless God. God said pork's clean to eat. Give me a pork chop. Give me a side of ham. A little bacon with breakfast. If it takes that brother who said, I feel like that it's unclean, if it causes him to say, oh man, I ain't never going to listen to Paul preach again, then it was wrong for Paul to do that. To eat that ham or to eat that bacon. But preacher, that seems so unfair that I should have to live my life according to what it might make someone else think about me. Or if it causes your brother or sister in Christ to stumble, cause that little weaker than you are, then it's wrong for you to do it.
Amen.
You didn't leave. Here it goes. Years ago where I pastored, our church was growing. Brother Rick, it was growing leaps and bounds. That'd be 20 new people, maybe 25, every Sunday, coming in like crazy. God just a blessing. People saved. I couldn't tell you how many services in a row there's at least one person saved. That just one, two, three, one. Just every service, somebody getting saved. Man, it was wonderful. Just about a flat year of straight revival. Praise God. But I watched these boys on the, I come out of my, I didn't have really an office there. They used it to count the numbers for Sunday school. So I would rather, I'd go to a little closet where the brooms was. That's where I'd sit down, study, or pray. Come out of that closet and head towards the fellowship hall and loop around the front of the church. And I watched every Sunday for weeks. That's about 10 boys. They'd bring their family to Sunday school. They wouldn't go. They thought themselves as men above Sunday school. Thought it'd be better to stand on the front porch and talk about the ball games or the races. And decide to smoke themselves a cigarette. I've watched that. 8 or 10 of them. You get 8 or 10 at one time. It's a real smoky situation. I've watched visitors come in the church. I watch them clearing out a path just so they could get through and breathe. Had one of them come to me and say, "Preacher, I really love your church and all. Love the singing. Love the people. I can't stand having to come through that to come in the house of God. Man, I labored about what I was going to do. I mean, part of me wanted to be man enough to walk up and say, how about you not doing that? Why don't you get in Sunday school like you ought to? Now, I had to write his pastor to do that. And every one of y'all know that there's pastors that would do that.
Amen.
But I want to be loving and compassionate. And if I come up to you and do that, it might cause you to stumble.
Amen.
And I knew that two wrongs don't make a right. By the same token, two rights don't make a wrong. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, what am I going to do? I watched one of them that last time. Took his cigarette and bling, right out in the paved parking lot it went with the butt of the cigarette. And God said, I want you to pick that up. You want me to what? I want you to pick it up. I walked to where it went, still a little warm, and I picked it up in my suit, carrying my Bible in my arm, and then there's another, and another, and I began to pick up cigarette butts, and I had 10 boys standing on the front porch watching their preacher pick that up. Said a lot to them. Took them in, walked right through them, shook every one of their hands. They looked at me and didn't say a word. They understood. We're bothered something. And he don't want to have to just come out and tell us. And I walked and throwed all them butts, about a whole handful or more, in the trash, washed my hands, went and sat down in the front row. Next Sunday morning I went out. Had some of them not in Sunday school. They wasn't smoking on the front porch. I appreciate that.
Amen.
I didn't have to tell them. They kind of figured it out for themselves. Now, I ain't running down your smoking. Don't you go out of here and say that. I don't condone your smoking. I don't condemn it.
Amen.
Amen. I told you could leave. You had the right to get up and go, but you didn't. I don't condone it and don't condemn it. But if that's what you're going to do, there's a place for it and a place not for it.
Amen.
And if it causes somebody to stumble at this church, you be wrong doing it.
Amen.
Do you follow me?
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I love you, by the way. I love you. Don't you go mad out of here. I love you. Preacher, somebody tell you if I offended somebody? No, they've not. But if that thought goes through your mind and it's a possibility, you better check up.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Let the Holy Ghost, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church.
Amen.
I remember years ago, ain't nothing wrong with you wearing a pair of shorts. God told me, he said, I don't want you to wear them anymore when you're mowing your yard. I want you to wear them when you go in that factory. It's about 100 degrees. I want you to wear your blue jeans. I want you to cover yourself. You're the man of God. I said, but God! That's one of them but gods that wasn't good. But God, everybody else does it. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Y'all said,
if it causes somebody in your church to stumble, and you're wrong to wear them, my wife, she'd crack up at me. I'd get out there. I'd be mowing the grass at 90 degrees outside, and the sweat just rolling. It's awful. But I did it. Still practice that. Why? God told me if I don't do that, and I might cause some brother or sister to stumble because of what I wear, and I'd be wrong to wear it.
Amen.
I can't find in the United States Bill of Rights where they ought to wear shorts or breeches. That's up to the individual.
Amen.
Congress, the Declaration of Independence, don't indicate to me what it is we ought to do. Now, the Word of God says we should clothe ourselves. Don't say necessarily whether I'm to let my knees show or not. But for what He told me to do, bless God, I'd better do.
Amen.
Right. Rather than cause someone to stumble.
Right.
So, preacher, then, are you preaching to me saying that I ought not to wear shorts? Sounds like to me, your policy, you're preaching your policy to me rather than the Word of God. No, I'm just giving you my individual facts. Your convictions is between you and God.
Right. Amen.
Bless you.
Do you follow?
Amen.
Saved people are not a stumbling block to someone to cause them to err. These windows on the front of this church just keep coming back to me. Years have passed. And I keep hearing. You hear me? When I go to visit lost people, and they were condemning this church for a window, you ought to be glad I didn't shoot it out.
Amen. Right.
Amen. You ought to be glad I didn't get a rock or a can of paint.
Right.
I brought it to you civilly.
Amen.
And orderly.
Right.
You voted unanimously.
Right.
What that means, none opposed.
Right.
Then bless God for somebody to raise their voice. Say, they made a great mistake. You voted for them.
Right.
You have your right to say no.
Right.
The windows is down. Case closed.
Amen.
If it causes someone to stumble, to keep them out of the house of God, it's wrong for us to do that.
Right. Amen. Go ahead.
Somebody said to me, preacher, you mad? No, you hear me. Somebody said to me, well, then I don't like your preaching. You caused me to stumble. I'm going to quit church over you. So won't you just quit if you really believe that policy? You see, Jesus Christ is a stumbling block to some, but He's a stepping stone to us.
Amen.
It's one way you know the real difference of a real stumbling block that's hindering things. He couldn't possibly be a stepping stone. And those boys smoking on the front porch, 10 of them, they were not a stepping stone. They are a stumbling block.
Amen.
Now my shorts, wearing them, is not going to be a stepping stone. Jesus Christ is the stepping stone.
Right.
Amen.
That's how you measure it. Amen.
Right.
You see, when we preach, if ain't nobody getting saved and everybody's getting mad, then you wonder, are you preaching the right doctrine?
Right.
But when God's adding to the church, you better leave it alone.
Amen.
Bible said you don't, what the Holy Ghost has done, you don't question what the Holy Ghost has done.
Right.
So and so come up here and got saved, and somebody said, oh, I wonder if they really got it. Bless God, you're in sin on that idea.
Right.
If the Holy Ghost has done a work in their life, who are you to question?
Right.
You tell me, who are you to question the work of an almighty God through the gift of the Holy Ghost, through the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You're wrong to question someone's salvation that has just claimed it. You are a stumbling block to them, and they're prospering through this salvation.
Amen.
To question the authenticity and the authority of one's salvation, you're a stumbling block. Well, bless God, I've got such and such position. I don't care what position you've got. You're a stumbling block to them to question their salvation.
Amen.
Say you're not really saved. You really got saved back yonder so-and-so. How do you know?
Right.
How do you know when somebody else got saved?
Right. Only God knows.
That's between them and the Lord.
Amen.
You leave it alone and say praise God and take a lap and go to the house.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Preachers come like to me. You're not preaching love. I'm trying to give you that which would help you tonight.
Right.
I give you the right to leave. It's 10 after 8. You could have left. You'd been home by now watching whatever's on television.
Yeah.
Mm. You ought to underline verse 12. Just underline it. It'll help you sometime in your life. When you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Hello. Number 3, and we're going to roll quickly. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Saved people, number 3, are a sacrificing people. What does that mean to sacrifice? It means to surrender, to submit, or to give place to another. Saved people are a people that are a sacrificing, surrendering, submitting people. Nowadays, you don't see. Well, you go ahead and do it, and I'll just say amen.
Happy boy.
It's about, look at me, what I've done.
Right.
Acknowledge me. It ain't never been about you, son. Right. Never.
Right.
It's only about the God that saved you through the gift of His
Amen. Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Saved people here. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I knew the first time I saw you, you was a peculiar people. You knew I was a peculiar pastor, amen. We just gelled together.
Amen.
That you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, now you're saved, amen. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake.
I'm not going to pray for George Bush, you said. I'm a whatever you are and didn't vote for him.
God's told us to pray for our leaders. Didn't see in parentheses whether you voted for them or not. I don't care what your political association. Somebody said something to me here at this church about my political association. And I'm telling you what, that's a stumbling block to somebody. To get out here and try to have a political rally on the front porch of this church, that's a stumbling block.
Amen.
This is not a place of politicians.
Amen.
This is a place of the house of God.
Right.
And I don't care what your politics is, I'll blow that out. But I do believe that you ought to pray for your leaders.
Amen.
That life spell of President Clinton, I prayed. Boy, I prayed for him. I didn't say I voted for him. I didn't say I didn't. I said I prayed for him. Hello?
Amen.
Somebody said, don't blame me. I didn't vote for him. Well, that's your business. Amen. The Bible says, whether it be to the king as supreme or in the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Maybe God allows some fellers to be president for such a time as that was.
Right.
For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. God says, I want you to submit to leadership,
right,
Take you to other scripture that says you ought to submit to the leadership role of a pastor in a church.
Right.
I'm not here to be a lord over you.
Right.
No, I'm not. God sent me here to love you and to preach the word of God to you.
Amen.
Amen. And he sent you here to hear.
Right.
Husbands, you ought to love your wives.
Amen.
Wives, Bible says you ought to submit yourself to your husbands. He had a spat with her tonight, didn't he? Now let me tell you something. The Bible tells us very clearly that we ought to submit ourselves to each other as we submit ourselves to Christ.
Right. Amen.
We're to submit. That's hard to do. It gets pride all fouled up when we have to submit and surrender. Well, I was right. Well, good for you. Done you a whole lot of good, didn't it? Now you're in a mess. But you was right. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Amen? The Bible tells us in Romans 12, you don't have to turn there, that we ought to present ourselves holy and acceptable unto the Lord. A living sacrifice are we to present ourselves unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. God's not asking you to do something unreasonable.
Right.
I asked somebody one time, why don't you come to church on Wednesday night? Well, that's just unthinkable. I work 40 hours a week, preacher. Well, praise God. It's good you got a job, because if you didn't, I wonder where you'd be.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I'd be out of work. I'd be in the unemployment line. Would you be at church Wednesday night? Well, I might be there begging God for a job. Well, maybe he's going to take the one you got.
Right.
To get you in the house of God like you ought to be. But if that happens, you'll get mad at him and say, Lord, you're starving me to death. I'm complaining against you. Well, you know why he took it? Because you wouldn't serve him.
Right.
And he got you in a place that you would serve him.
Amen.
You would. I've been in places my life and a fellow on my knees and said, oh, God, don't you know? God said, sure I do. But this is what it took to get you here.
Yeah.
That's why I allowed it.
Right.
So you'd submit to me.
Amen.
Boy, that'd do good. Just stand with me. I'm done. I got two other points, but I can tell you, you've had all you can take tonight. Just stand with me. I'd like to preach the rest of it.
Go ahead.
Bible says we ought to be separated from the world and its sinful practices.
Right.
It's what the Word of God teaches.
Amen.
Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Right.
The book of James 4:4 says this, whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Amen.
I know, every one of us in this church, everyone's here tonight, probably by way of tape as well, you and I certainly not come in here and smile back at me and smile in front of God and say, I'm as separated as I've ever been and as separated as I ever will be and as separated as I should be. You can't say that tonight. There's some association. There's some hindrance, some alliance, some reliance upon the world that you have. Let me say this. I said I was going to let you go, but I'm struck. When I was in steel case and God told me to get ready to resign my job, I was under my desk praying about it. You ask the people who work with me. I was under the desk praying about it. Said, oh God, what will I do without steel case? If I go over there and pastor church, I don't know what they'll pay me, but if I go over there, regardless if it's $1 million or $1,000, Lord, if they pay me, they could get mad at me and ask me to leave. And if they do that, then where am I going to go? I've been on this job 15 years. And God said, you either trust me or you trust steel case. I wonder what it is that not you trust.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
I want to get with a company that's solid. Hey, I say get with Christ. He's the solid rock.
Amen.
Amen.
God told me on that desk, he said, if you don't do what I tell you to do, won't you ever take time to stand in the pulpit and say, I'm trusting God all the way. Because you ain't. You're trusting steel case.
That's right, preacher.
Bless you.
I watched my buddy. Next day, good worker. Been there 21 years. I got up with a sick stomach. Called in, so I'm going to be just a little late. I'm really sick this morning. Got in about 8 o'clock. Was walking across the parking lot, still kind of squeamish with my stomach. My buddy, I'd had a dream about him the night before that he got fired. Out from the door walked a man carrying a box when I got to work. Stunned look on his face. I said, "Mike, what are you doing?" I said, "Did you quit?" "No." "Did you get fired?" "No." "What happened?" I said, "They came to me at 7 o'clock. And they said, up front now. And they escorted me up there with security. And so they told me, you can either take a cut in pay and go on the floor out of the office that you're in now, or you can leave with this much severance pay. You got 10 minutes to get your desk cleaned out, 3 days to figure it out, and let us know what you're going to do." He's in tears. I walked through the door of the factory and I said, "God help." He had done nothing wrong. In fact, he'd done a lot of things right. 21 years. I'd only been there 15. He could have said, "He's been here 6 years less, it ought to have been him." I walked through the doors of that factory and God said, "Now, what you going to do? You'll be next. If you say no to me, I'm going to shut her down, son. Then figure out how you're going to get paid. You do it my way, I'll take care of you. I lead. Where God guides, God provides."
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm standing here tonight and saying thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to serve you.
Right.
Amen. And do what you told me to do. You don't have the assurance that your business,
that's right,
your job is going to be there tomorrow.
Right.
You don't have the assurance that your health's going to last through the night.
Right.
Can you say you're separated like God told you to be?
Bless him, Lord.
I can't say that about me. Even though I'm pastor here, I wonder if I rely on the world more than I still rely on God. For we are his workmanship. Tells me as I drove down the highway today, had them big orange signs, says, "Right lane closed ahead, construction." I thought, God, y'all ought to put one of them orange signs around my neck. Danger ahead, boy under construction. He's working on you too.
Amen.
Right.
That we might be holy as he is holy.
Right.